There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show,
presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and the Radio MD Stay Well Network. And you, of course, are listening to You, the Owner's Manual, where we help you take charge of your genes so you can live at the highest quality of life. Teresa Brown is our guest. She's a nurse and has an often present columnist for the New York Times in the opinion section, has written, and I don't say this easily, an awesome book. It's awesome because it really does tell what she goes through, what we go through, what nurses go through. It's called The Shift, S-H-I-F-T. One Nurse, 12 Hours, Four Patient Lives by Teresa Brown, B-R-O-W-N, Teresa, and it's on Amazon, of course. And probably at your local bookstore. I'd love you to go to your local bookstore, but they just don't exist very much anymore. In any case, the point I want to bring up is Teresa Brown has a lot of experience as a real live nurse, and what I wanted to ask her, one, what motivated her to write this book, and then two, she describes in this book so well the intensity of nursing that I wanted to, and I couldn't help, and I can't help resisting talking to her about why nurses can't get or don't have time to do, or what it is we can do in redesigning the system so they get time to care for themselves. Teresa, thanks very much for coming on. Teresa Brown, B-R-O-W-N, The Shift.
Thanks for having me.
So, you describe the intensity of effort, and what is it like? There's a process of nursing where you choose, as you go through nursing school, you get exposed to a lot of different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you chose an inpatient or a serious care area. How did that decision occur, and is it because... is there a, as in medical school, kind of a hierarchy of difficulty and of challenges one wants?
There is, and also in nursing school, you tend to get pushed into the hospital. The idea is that everyone needs some experience working in the hospital, and that's not a bad point of view, but that's what we, by and large, get exposed to the most, so it ends up feeling like a natural fit. And then for me, there's a lot of cancer in my family, which paradoxically made me decide to work with cancer patients. And for me, it's a way of giving back for the good care that people in my family have gotten.
And now there is, when I was doing training, which shows you how long ago this was, people either did med nursing or surge nursing or pediatrics, and then as the ICUs were beginning in that era, the nurses who were what you would call more adrenaline junkies or were more serious generated towards or better or able to make handle multitasking easier went and generated or gravitated towards the intensive care units. But they burn out there because it's so intense.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's not that way. You go to cancer nursing or heart nursing or neurologic nursing. Is that common or is it just in these big medical centers?
It's becoming a lot more common because, as you know, healthcare itself is becoming more and more specialized as our knowledge base grows. So, say in oncology, maybe 30 years ago, there just weren't that many treatments. I mean, everybody got the same drugs. Well, now you might have two people with the exact same cancer getting two different treatments. So then you have to have nurses who know how to give all those different treatments, what to watch for. And so it really makes sense that nurses are also specializing too, because we need to have a lot of very specific knowledge.
Now, how did it happen that you decided to write this book? In other words, it really describes the intensity, the emotional part of nursing, as well as the physical part.
Yeah, I wanted to find a way to communicate what keeps me coming to work, because you tell people you work with cancer patients as a nurse, and pretty much the universal reaction is, oh my God, that sounds horrible. And there's definitely hard things, of course, but it's really joy and a sense of hopefulness that keep me coming to work every day. And I thought, if I can tell the story of a day, I can get that across, because for the whole book then, I would have just a few patients, but I would be able to tell each of their stories throughout this one shift. So it became a way for me to let my readers get to know the patients in a lot of detail and get to see my work and all its various crazy rhythms. And at the end, I hope that they take away, wow, nurses are really dedicated to what they do.
And they are, they obviously are dedicated. And that's actually one of the most interesting, interesting parts of nursing that is paradoxical in my mind and that I really wanted to get to. That is, if you look at the data from the Nurses' Health Study, which is 88,000 plus nurses in the United States, we have generously participated in this study that looks at what causes chronic disease, etc. If you look at the nurses who are 44 to 64 or those 24 to 44, it's roughly the same results. If you do 5 healthy behaviors in those studies, that is, you walk 30 minutes a day, you avoid tobacco, you drink only a little, or you manage stress, you have a waist half your height, and you eat a Mediterranean-like diet. If you do those 5 things, you have a 90% among the older nurses, 83% among the younger nurses, of not developing a chronic disease. Yet in the studies, only 4% of our older nurses, 3% of our younger nurses did those 5 healthy behaviors. And when we offer yoga free to our nurses here at the Cleveland Clinic, we do it during shift. Their managers will give them time off. We
Wow.
do it after shift, before shift, etc. We have less than a 1% participation. We have 11,000 nurses, so we have a lot of nurses. So 1% is still, we get a fair number, but it is no place near the majority. And when you ask them, and even doing other things, it's very hard to get our nurses to participate in behaviors that are healthy for themselves. They just don't have enough time or too devoted to patients. So why is that? And when did it start, Teresa?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a solution for it in your mind?
This is such a great question, and it's an issue that people in nursing are constantly talking about. And it starts in school, that we're taught these are all these healthy behaviors. You just listed 5 great things to do to stay healthy, and we learn them so that we can teach them to our patients. But at the same time, the schedule in school is so incredibly grueling that we're sitting there hearing all these things to do to stay healthy, including especially get enough sleep, and it's impossible to do any of them. So right away in school, you get the message that the job is really more important than the demands of your physical health, which is a strange message to give to nursing, but it's this idea that you give the job your all. And that sounds wonderful, but the cost is...
Teresa, we're going to have to take a break here. We've got a hard break for our sponsors. We'll be right back, and we'll get to more on this question and other things from the great book, The Shift, One Nurse, 12 Hours, 4 Patients by Teresa Brown. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, on Radio MD. Stay well.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the passionate show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live at the highest quality ever. I have not given our call-in number, 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800. And Ben, who's our new engineer this week, correct me if I'm wrong on that number and tell me correct numbers to call in. I don't have my email up today for it. Couldn't somehow my computer that normally gets it up won't connect to the internet today. So I don't send me anything on UDocs. If you want to ask questions, you're going to have to call in 844-305-7800. We're talking with Teresa Brown. She's a nurse and frequent New York Times opinion columnist. One nurse, 12 hours, four patient lives. The book is called The Shift. So really, and I don't think I've ever said this before. It is an awesome book because it does describe really well and really in the full emotional and I would say all-encompassing terms, the life of a nurse, is at least as I see it, if you will. So it's a wonderful book. But I was talking to her about a different area that came out of the book. That is, if you look at this book, the nurses have no time for anything. It's an intense thing. They sacrifice their own health to their patients' health, including, if you will, avoiding the bathroom as much as possible, drinking less early on in their shift so they don't have to use the bathroom later on in the shift. I mean, crazy stuff. But in any case, that's what they do. And, if you will, they also don't take care of themselves, if you will. If you look at the five basic behaviors of physical activity, avoiding tobacco, managing stress, eating the right foods, eating the right portion sizes, they don't do those to any place near what they want their patients to do. And so one of the things we're having trouble with, you know, if I look at my own job as chief wellness officer at the Cleveland Clinic and trying to help our own nurses, we do a tremendous job in getting, you know, if you look at it, the Cleveland Clinic weights in general are down half a BMI per year for the last 6 years. We've decreased smoking rates from 15.4 to 5.2%. There's a huge improvement in incidence and prevalence of type 2 diabetes going down in our patient, in our employee population. So, and even our cost structure has done so very well in our own caring nurses, but and employees. But it's much easier to get to our other 29,000 employees than our 11,000 nurses. And so one of the things I said, geez, this is a great opportunity. Look at this book. It shows how intense and emotional the nurse's job is, as well as how, if you will, not only intense, but intense in an emotional way, but intense in a mental and physical way. I should ask her, what is this known? And then what can we do about it? And in the break, she was telling me this is pretty well known. Is that right, Teresa?
Yeah, it is very well known. And also, thank you for the lovely compliment on my book. But this problem is well known. The hard part is what to do about it. And so much of it seems to come down to that we're working very long shifts, often 12 hours, and there's no opportunity for a built-in break. Even often lunch is basically borrowed time because there's no one to cover for you. And I do know of hospitals where they'll have a lunch staff who actually come in to relieve the nurses on the floor and let them have a lunch. But I think it's hard for people to understand how you're in this very intense environment. And if you read the book, you'll get a sense of just how intense it is for nurses. and there's no quiet room you can ever go to just to sit for 5 minutes. Even you have a patient suddenly get very sick, you have a patient die, well, you've still got three other patients and they need you. And so a lot of stress builds up, and then there's really not great food around to eat. And it's lovely that families bring us food, but they tend to bring us cookies and candy and cake. And so then it's easy to get into this habit of, oh, I'm really hungry because I haven't eaten all day and I'm stressed. Oh, look, here's some chocolate. So just really not very healthy eating habits can get reinforced by the pattern of work. And then, of course, the days are long. You don't get enough sleep. But the big problem is there's a lot of stress, and there are not built-in ways to let that stress off during the shift.
And we bring in a second group of nurses, and the nurses feel so responsible for the patients that they don't want to leave during their shift. So, in fact, when we have on the floor, as I said, we have in the lounge, we segregate that out so that the nurses can have a period of time for yoga, and we do it in 20-minute shifts so they can do it in various phrases. They don't do that they don't take advantage of that to any place near the degree I would love them to. And we have before shifts and after shifts. I mean, we even do, as you probably know, working in a major medical center, we have buses that take nurses from and to and from the parking lot. And the bus drivers participate in one of these.
They
organized a 4 a.m. yoga class. But we can't get the nurses to do it to any place near the same degree. And so what I'm wondering is, do you know, is there a solution? One, it sounds like that we aren't the first to discover that we can't get our nurses to do things healthily for themselves. And then what should we, if we're designing the program to change it, how would you do that? Assuming you couldn't start a nursing school, and then let's assume you can.
Right. And you've pinpointed a key problem that I've also heard other places I've visited and other nurses I've talked to, that management will set up a lunch break and it's very hard to get some of the nurses to do it because they feel like nobody can take care of my patients as good as I will. So then as a profession, we need to do some work with ourselves about, yes, we're wonderful, but we're all wonderful, and feeling like you have to have complete 100% ownership of your patient at all times ends up hurting you and them in the long run because you're not taking care of yourself. So it's hard to get
We're going to run out of time, Teresa. So next time I have you on, we're going to have to actually go and address this question, say, what could we do? How could we design the system so that we can encourage the nurses, whether it's financial incentives or taxing or hitting them over the head with a 2x4, what could we do to get it so that we can get our nurses to take care of themselves as well as their patients? We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay tuned for the second hour. Thanks, Teresa Brown. The book is The Shift. Get it.